Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Chris Hanney joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That's a Play It's Rain song, a song Todd Snyder wrote about 20 years ago in tribute to a friend of his who passed away. Sending that out to him. Todd Snyder died on Friday.
Yeah, and obviously Todd Snyder had deep connections to Memphis. For people who don't know the history, can you give us just a Reader's Digest version of Todd Snyder and his connection to Memphis?
Yeah, he grew up in Oregon, was in Texas for a little while, and then ended up in Memphis. He's actually ended up in Memphis. His dad was here working construction, and I think either, I don't know if he became friends, but became familiar with the Memphis songwriter Todd Snyder and sort of, you know, the Memphis songwriter Keith Sykes. And so Todd Snyder ended up moving to Memphis partly based on some of those connections. And sort of got his start here, really. Like his first album, the 1994 Songs for the Daily Planet, is a reference to an old bar, no longer exists, in the University of Memphis area where he played a lot. And so he sort of launched his career out of Memphis, recorded, I think, at least a couple albums here, and was sort of Memphis-based at the beginning of his career, and then ended up moving to Nashville, East Nashville, specifically, he would point out. And he really transformed himself artistically, I think, and he thought, too. About a decade later with this album, the East Nashville Skyline, in 2004. But Memphis continued to have a connection with him and continued to show up in his music from time to time. And, you know, he would reconnect with old friends and bandmates and stuff whenever he was in town.
And he played Memphis fairly frequently, didn't he? I saw him a couple times.
Yeah, and he toured pretty constantly. But yeah, he played Memphis several times over the years, recent years.
So you've done one of your pieces. You had a busy weekend, Chris, with Drew. Had a baby, so that's cool. Yep. Harper arrived. So you had a busy week on a lot of fronts. One of the pieces you did was you've assembled some of the songs in which Memphis is a character. I have
that's a sidebar to the main thing I wrote. They may have taken it out and made it a separate thing, too.
That was really more
of a sidebar.
If
you're going to read anything by me on Todd Snyder, read the main piece.
Read the main
piece. But I did the sidebar on the Memphis song.
But I wanted to refer some people. Read the main piece, but I wanted to refer some people to some of the songs in the sidebar. The KK Rider story is just genius. It's just unbelievably good. And it's funny, is that sort of it's storytelling as much as the song?
Well, he became, I mean, that is a story that leads into a song, is what that is. And he sort of became known for the between songs or sort of stories. And one of the points I made in sort of my main piece is that one of the things that has happened with his evolution as an artist is that the storytelling started to influence the songwriting itself, and those things sort of started to blend together over time. But one thing I would recommend to people, this is like my family on like family road trip.
Uh-huh.
Toward the end of the trip when we're trying to like stay fresh, we'll play one of those Todd Snyder live albums. The first one, Near Throughs and Hotel Rooms, and then the one KK Ryder Story is on, which is just called The Storyteller. And like, those are a classic family road trip soundtrack for us.
That's great. Near Truths and Hotel Rooms is one, and The Storyteller is another. You can read Chris's piece on Todd Snyder over at the Daily Memphian. In the meantime, the Grizzlies had an eventful weekend as Zach Edey made his return, and it was briefly glorious, wasn't it, Chris?
I thought Edey looked great, and I thought the impact was instant. Was instant and meaningful from Zach Edey. Like the team's defense, particularly interior defense, just flipped on a dime. Like it was immediate when you had Jaron and Edey out there together relative to Jaron and Jock Landale. Like it was dramatic how much that flipped. The problem is that, you know, 6 minutes into the game, they didn't have a point guard anymore. And I just don't know how you overcome that. I would be fascinated to see what the Grizzlies would be right now if Ty Jerome had never got hurt, like much less Scottie Pippen. If you just had Ty Jerome, I'd be fascinated to know what it would be. But because Morant like hasn't been good for the most part, other than the very beginning of the season, and so they've had such bad guard play through all of this. And I love the look of an Edey Jackson Coward front line. I think that's fascinating. But there's only so much you're going to do without if you don't have guards. And so it's a rough spot.
Yeah, it's hard to function. You don't have a point guard. Every team has one or two or three. And you can't let's be honest. They until Saturday, they had Ja. You know, like, so they don't get a complete pass.
Let's back up. Yes. Let's back up on that assertion.
Okay.
They are 4-10 right now, correct?
Yeah.
They are 4-5 in games where Ja Morant has fully been there in body and mind. He has missed two games completely.
Right.
He missed most of a third game, the one last night where he was gone for 6 minutes. He quit on the Laker game when they're up 15 at the half. And then the first game he came back from suspension against the Pistons, he just played mad. And like, so when he has been, and this is shooting 15%, by the way. I'm not been blaming him on that, but I'm not blaming him for the injuries. But just the reality is, games where he has been fully present for 48 minutes with body and mind, they're 4-5.
That's fair. Putting aside the body part, he's also been known to be absent in mind other times. Like, it's, you don't get a complete, it's why they went out and signed Ty Jerome, in fairness, right? Like, you have,
right.
And you have Scottie Pippen Jr.
This is 100% right.
Yes.
The Morant reliability issue, and some of the issues are his fault, and some of them aren't, right? No one's trying to get injured. But the Morant reliability issues have been a thing for 4 years now. And the problem now, and it's been a thing this season, but the problem is they went out and they had backstops for it, and they lost the backstops. And Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen.
It's just devastating. And it really does make it impossible to evaluate anything when you don't have a point guard. Well,
that's my feeling. Like, I've been given the job. I don't know whether Pizzolo's a good coach, but I know this is not – there just hasn't been, you know, give him a real point guard for like 3 weeks in a row and then get back with him, you know?
I agree with you. It is impossible to evaluate without a point guard. Let's start here. What do we know? Calf soreness.
We don't know anything. I mean, we're waiting on, you know, I'm hoping for good timing for me personally because I got like stuff to do. I didn't get much done in my real life over the weekend and like I got stuff to do, but I'm still on alert. I think today, some point today, there will be an injury update. I do not know what that injury update will say. One thing I do know is that the NBA writ large is very skittish about calf issues. You look around the league, like Anthony Davis is not playing right now because of calf soreness.
Yep.
Victor Wimby, I'm just going to say Wimby. Wimby did not play last night because of calf soreness. There were multiple star players who had calf soreness, and then that led to Achilles injuries, which are more severe. Now, it doesn't have to go that way. I made the point, in, I think, the column I wrote or somewhere I wrote that Santi Aldama had a calf soreness issue late last season. He missed six games, which is a lot of games. Then he came back from it, and he was fine. He's been fine since. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to come up with the Morant thing, but I'd be surprised if he's playing on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I was heartened to read that sentence. I'd forgotten that Santi Aldama missed six games and was fine. I do wonder, and I don't expect you to have the answer to this, is calf soreness, what is this is you get an orthopedist on here. What is the connection between calf soreness and the Achilles injuries? And if treated appropriately, can it forestall or prevent totally the Achilles?
I'm not a doctor. Obviously, right. Those parts of the body are close together in terms of pressure. The pressure that's being put to bear is those things are in proximity, if not linked. And so I'm not a doctor. Right, I can't answer that.
But I know
there's a pattern of one being a precursor to the next.
But presumably they'll be cautious. And presumably the decision, they made a roster decision over the weekend, and that sort of also suggests that John might miss some time. Yes?
Well,
tell the people what they did.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I think that's also connected to Edie's return, right? I mean, DJ Hall was there, you know, to sort of give them depth while Edie was out.
And they let PJ Hall go.
Yeah, so Brandon Clark is still out. So maybe, like, if you didn't have any guard injuries, maybe you don't do that yet. And you still keep PJ Hall because of the Clark absence. But when you have four guard injuries and, like, now Edie's back, I think that move was always going to happen at some point in the season. I think the timing is related both to Edie's return and the guard problems. I don't know how much Jemai Maychek's going to help you. So if they were strictly just, we got to react to this injury, they probably, you could go assign some other true point guard on a two-way and not elevate Maychek. But I think the Maychek is a long-term thing that we're always going to do.
Remind people, where has Jemai Maychek been?
With the Memphis Hustle.
I know, but what's his journey, like contractually? Like, was there a...
They drafted him. He was the last pick in the draft, pick 59. And they had sort of an understanding. I don't know what the specific understanding was, but they had some kind of understanding that, you know, we want to develop you. We may not have a two-way spot for you immediately, but stick with us. We're still going to develop you. And he went along with that. And so he played in summer league. He did not play in preseason because of that contractual issue, because they would have had to cut him and leave him open to other teams. And so he just joined the Memphis Hustle as a Memphis Hustle contract player. It was basically just waiting for his opportunity to step up into the two-way. So now he stepped up into the two-way. So he is on the two-way contract, just like Javon Small is, just like Omax Prosper is.
So what? Let's say it's even six games. What? How do they function now?
Vince Williams, here's your ball. How about Vince, like, twisting his ankle and comes back, given all the problems he's had, comes back and plays the second half? Maybe Maychek plays, but go look at his numbers in the G League, right, in terms of turnovers and shooting.
Right.
They're pretty scary, as good of a defender as he is. So I think Vince Williams and Cam Spencer, like, you know, you're running Vince Williams and Cam Spencer. Really, you're trying to win with defense, which they might, you know, I don't know if they'll – you know, if the schedule eases up, they may be able to do that some, because I think the defense is going to suddenly be really good now. Not only are you adding Edie, I think the Edie-Jaren thing just works defensively, like, instantly. It just works big time. The numbers last year tell you that. They were, like, 100th percentile defense when those two guys were on the floor together. But now you're adding Cedric Howard's athleticism, and, like, Vince is a big downgrade from these other guys at point guard on offense. He's an upgrade on defense.
Right.
Maybe not an upgrade on Scottie Pippen, but he's an upgrade on a Ja Morant or a Ty Jerome. So, I mean, the idea of playing Vince with Jalen Wells, Cedric Howard, Jaren Jackson, and Zach Edie, that should be a really, really, really good defensive lineup. And, like, you hope Jaren can score. I mean, Jaren was super aggressive. He got lots of touches, lots of shots. He missed lots of shots, but, like, also got to the line a bunch. That was against a really
tough front line
in Cleveland. So I think, you know, run more stuff through Jaren, get Edie more opportunities, and, like, try to be really good defensively and eke out some wins until you can get a guard back. That's really all they can do.
Again, urge you to read Chris's many, many pieces of the Daily Memphian, including the column that went up on the Grizzlies just recently. In it, you made the point that Edie with Jaren was great. Edie without Jaren was not great. So how did the Grizzlies parse that?
This is going to be interesting, because one of the things I did not notice this watching the game. I only noticed this when I went back and looked at it. Edie played 25 minutes in that first game back, which is more than I expected him to, coming off the injury. And by the way, I saw people complain about Cedric Howard. You start him, and then he plays less minutes. He was on a minutes restriction, too, because he was on the injury report with doubtful with foot soreness that morning. So right. So Edie and Howard were both on minutes restrictions. 25 was more than I expected, but all of it was with Jaren. Every second Zach Edie was on the floor, he was paired with Jaren Jackson. And so I'll be interested to see if that is their recipe going forward. We're going to maximize this Jaren-Edie pairing by basically tying Edie to Jaren in the way they used to tie Steven Adams to Ja, and then we'll try to survive the other minutes. like, let's try to win big with those two, or at least win with those two and then balance it out. Or if they break it up more and try to find other stuff that works. I continue to think that more of a small ball look around Edie is a way to try to do it. And I think Coward, I could see doing something like that. Like, you know, play three wings, like Coward, Wells, and, you know, KCP or whatever with whoever's the point guard is with Edie. I would give that a look. But I'll be very interested to see how they try to navigate that.
You have a section on Coward in the most recent piece. Obviously, he started, and not because of injury. It was a decision. Your thoughts on the continuing development of Cedric Coward?
Yeah, I don't think it was important that he start, but it's something I would have done. Like, if you just asked me do it or don't do it, I would have done it. I didn't think it was like the reason they were struggling or whatever. But I thought you know, it was going to happen eventually. Why not now? He's been good. You can see there. He has got limitations, as you would expect. He's got limitations as a ball handler.
Yep.
He's got some limitations athletically in terms of his explosiveness. He's more long and strong than someone who just rockets off the floor. And sometimes he'll get caught up that way offensively. But there still hasn't been a game this year where he hasn't contributed something positive. You know, whether that's on the boards, that's on defense, that's making shots. You know, would it be nice if he suddenly became a consistent, like, high team scorer? Yeah, but that's asking an awful lot for a rookie who, like, you know, played six games of high-level college basketball.
And it feels like that's the kind of thing that you can figure out, how to be effective. You know, he will continue to figure it out. I thought one point that you made in your piece was really interesting, which is, sure, the Grizzlies are off to this rough start. But if you look at this at the beginning of the season, you would have said be in the play-in range. And after
this is in fact what I said at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. And in fact, they kind of still are.
Yeah.
Game and a half.
That's the thing about the play-in. Yeah. It goes down to 10 now, and it's not running away from you anytime soon. And so would it be better to be, you know, the 7-8 and try to have a chance to, you know, avoid Oklahoma City in a first-round series? Yeah, 100%. But if you just want to, like, be and get into the postseason and hope that you are a better team when you get there than you have been along the way, that your record does not indicate the team you have grown to be, that's what I said. Once the Jerome and Pippen injuries happened, that was my marker. It was like, if you want to have competitive hopes this season, this is what they are. You're going to be a play-in team. It's going to be hard not to be a play-in team, but be better than your record when you get there, right? Grow and improve over the course of the season. And they've dug a deeper hole than anyone would have wanted, but, like, all of that is still there.
Yeah, they're a game and a half out of the play-in. And they've got, you may get San Antonio. It feels like you're going to get San Antonio without Wemby or Stephon Castle. And then and then you got Sacramento, right?
Like, right. And then you're at Dallas, and it looks like that'll be without Anthony Davis because he's out with the calf soreness. Too. So this is an opportunity. Like, it'd be great to win all three, but if Morant's not going to play, I mean, any win is – anything you can get, really. But you should at least be more competitive in these games. They were really competitive against Cleveland. That was maybe the best game they played this season, all things considered. They just ran out of gas offensively in the fourth quarter.
Do we have any sense of any greater sense of when Ty Jerome's going to be riding to the rescue?
They're due to give us an update. I feel like based on the injury, I don't expect to see him for at least a month. I late December, early January would be my guess, but I don't. I understand that was that he had a pretty significant. That's not calf soreness. That's a calf strain or sprain or whatever. So that's like a real injury, not just it hurts. And so I think they're going to be even with all that's pressing down upon them. I think they're going to be really, really careful with that, especially given his injury history.
All right, Chris had a busy week over the Daily Memphian. Go read all his stuff. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian, piece on Todd Snyder. Sidebar on all the Todd Snyder songs, which include Memphis references that you can read, plus a piece on the Grizzlies today that dropped in addition to the piece that he wrote on the Grizzlies and Cavs game. So a busy time for Chris. Drew is with his new baby, Harper. So that's cool. All right. We normally do it in the second segment on a Monday, given the catastrophes all around us, we decided to postpone it. But we'll do the fight song roundup when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. A little belatedly, let's do the fight song roundup.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All right, we honor those teams that deserve to be honored improbably, given they were outgained 406 to 212. Oklahoma, bested Alabama, and it feels like they're headed to the playoff. From the hot seat to the playoff for Brent Venables, 23-21. Listen, we know that defense, you call it salty. It's salty, man. Held Alabama to 2.4 yards per rush. And Ty Simpson didn't look great. Made him look mortal.
They made him look late.
Four sacks. Made him look, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. even when he was making plays, everything just felt, the timing felt off.
And Mateer doesn't have to be great with that defense.
No, but the key was don't throw it to the other team. And he had like one pass in like the second quarter where I felt like the game was kind of turning back to Alabama. And Alabama doesn't make the pick six, yep. Whereas Oklahoma did. And like this is kind of like a high school football coach's dream to like explain to everyone.
To win
special
like
teams,
special
turnovers.
Teams, defense, turnovers, like all that. Yeah.
The hidden yardage.
Okay, Brent Venables had a quote, something about, and you could tell who was a tougher team. He said it was a something like that. Do you buy that? It is interesting. When DeBoer loses, it's turnovers.
It's turnovers. I buy that they were more physical, but I don't know.
That's what he said. That was actually the word he used.
You know what
I
mean?
More physical team.
And I do think that that was true because, I mean, I think Alabama got hit in that game in a manner that they haven't been, but it's kind of a lot of the same problems that Alabama has at times had this year, but they've kind of been getting away with it. They still can't build a consistent running game. And when like they have to go and score, you know, 28 sometimes it's kind of tough to push the pedal down.
Alabama's in fine shape. They got maybe the best win of the whole season, Georgia, right?
They're in fine shape.
They got Tennessee. They got Vandy.
They are in this awkward spot, though, of what happens if they start getting compared to other 10-2 teams. They might have the worst loss.
They have a bad loss.
And it's been glossed over for much of it, but now I feel like...
Don't you think the fact that it happened long ago helps them?
There's no question they'll say recency bias doesn't matter, but it 100% does.
100% matters. It's not just the whole... And particularly, it's not even just recent. It's the opener, you know?
Week one weirdness.
You just discount it.
The problem, though, is if you start to get this logjam of 10-2 teams... Maybe something that didn't matter for 8 weeks now all of a sudden becomes another data point.
What suddenly happens if your third loss is in the SEC championship game?
So I don't think they're going to punish. I don't think they're going to punish you for making it.
Yeah, I think they're in.
I think they're in if they beat Auburn.
Yeah, let's stipulate.
Yeah,
they got to beat Auburn. And I think Oklahoma right now. Again, I would say Ole Miss, A&M, Georgia, Alabama, and Oklahoma right now, again, games to be played with Vandy and Texas.
On the outside looking in. I think that's probably fair.
Speaking of. Well, this one wasn't close. Gunnar Stockton. You know, he's got 13 touchdowns in the last four games.
Yep.
Another four against Texas. Arch was just under siege. And so Georgia's obviously in. We got Georgia Tech.
This was one of those games that I don't think the final score or even the stats indicate how much of a bloodbath this felt like. Like, I just did not feel like Texas could ever move the ball. Like, their one touchdown was greatly aided by, like, a couple of pass interference penalties. It was off a turnover. But when it came down to it, it's like they got a field goal on their first drive of the game. Then Georgia just kind of settled in. And at Denver felt like Texas was going to be a real threat. And then, obviously, I think the big play of the game that led to the blowouts, probably the onside kick.
Right. That was unnecessary.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that was kind of...
Brilliantly done.
Yeah, and I think Georgia knew in this era, like, where you don't have to be the best team in September and October, if you start playing your best football in November and they start racking off wins, well, I think all of a sudden they're going to be making a real big push for a top four seed.
All right, so Texas has, to their credit... Win over Oklahoma.
Yep.
Win over Vandy.
Yes.
They have to add to it. Obviously, they got Arkansas left, and they got A&M left.
Correct.
So, if they can win those two, what do you think?
My gut reaction on Saturday night was it is going to be really tough to overcome a 25-point loss because we've seen that teams can kind of take a loss, but they seem to really dock blowouts against them. I just felt like Saturday night was the end, but I do think we're probably at times too quick to...
Well, it's funny. They literally, last week, talking about Miami, and of course we're going to have a new talker. Talking about Miami, indeed, we're going to have a new talker. The commentary was, well... We just got to see more consistency. That was the word that they kept using, more consistency. Well, one thing you don't see from Texas is consistency.
No. And Miami has two losses, and yeah, you can sit there and go, oh, those are bad losses, but it's like it's mainly just because of the point spread. They lost by 3 points on a late turnover against Louisville, and they lost in overtime by 3 points to SMU. Like,
all right, next. I struggled with this. Do we put them on the – when you dig your own hole and then you dig yourself out of your hole, do you get credit for that? Mike Elko obviously gets the new contract announced right before the game begins. $11 million a year is what that's what you've seen.
Yes. So I think they were planning on like having it done on Friday and then doing the big signing ceremony on Saturday. That would have been awkward.
You immediately fall behind 30-3, and then you come back and obviously Marcel Reed threw those two picks early, which contributed, and then leads them on touchdown drive, touchdown drive, touchdown drive, touchdown drive. It's just devastating for South Carolina. I mean, holy smokes, 30-3.
You know what I thought stood out about this game? Yes, it's the biggest SEC comeback, or you know whatever the numbers going around were. It didn't feel that shocking. Like when you were actually watching
Right. Watching it unfold,
did not
feel like Atlanta and New England in the Super Bowl. You know, like, oh, I can't believe they're
this
pulling
felt like
this
the team
off.
That
You're
is
like, this
significant,
felt inevitable.
This felt like the team that was significantly better. It was like, all right, we're going to stop turning it over,
yeah,
and we're just going to keep moving the ball, and now we're going to score.
I 100% co-sign. It did not. At some point, it was like, oh, this is going to happen. This felt inevitable.
When it got to 30-17, I'm like, they're going to win 31-30. Here, you ready for the drives for South Carolina in the second half?
Yeah.
They had a decent drive to start the half. 8 plays, 45 yards, turnover on downs. 3 plays, 4 yards, punt. 4 plays, 16 yards, punt. 3 plays, minus 12 yards, punt. 8 plays, 23 yards, turnover on downs.
Well, and then we have the news that James Franklin is the front runner to go to
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. What did you think of that?
So, whatever.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand what the advantage of putting that out there for anyone is until it happens. Like, if James Franklin wants the job, he should just take the job. If he doesn't want the job, what's the. Are you trying to get other people to bid?
I think you're trying to see if other schools
are interested.
Correct.
Step up now.
Like, hey,
I'm about
if you
to
don't
take who leaked this story?
My guess is Franklin's side.
It's Jimmy, right?
CAA. Jimmy's had a busy weekend.
So they you think they leaked it so others would know if you're interested in James Franklin, step up.
Hey, we're close to getting this done. If you want to give him your job, like, here you are.
I have to say, if I'm James Franklin and I'm looking around at all the jobs available, I'm not sure I want this one. Like, I maybe the other ones aren't really available, but I'll tell you what, Lane Kiffin can't take them all, you know?
100%.
He can't take Florida and LSU.
And Ole Miss.
And then Ole Miss.
And Auburn, for that matter.
And Auburn, right. Are those jobs, and, well, Penn State's open, but obviously they're not hiring James Franklin. So, but then other jobs will come open. Someone's got to have the Giants job. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think Marcus Freeman. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no,
who
I'm
knows? Do you really take a Virginia Tech job?
So the argument would be, because Penn State's going to be paying a large portion of the salary, maybe you give VaTech a better deal than they would have gotten. You can use more of that money on...
Or you have to have overwhelming NIL money.
Correct.
But is it really going to be better than, of course, Clemson? Is it going to be better than Clemson and Florida State and even like North Carolina?
I do think he does well in these kind of underdog jobs.
He does, but I mean, I heard someone making the case this would be perfect for him because he can go there and win 10 games and be disappointing and people will be happy. But is that really what you want to do if you're James Franklin? Don't you actually want to go out and prove you can win the big ones?
I think if you're James Franklin, I think you wanted the best job available. This is kind of... There's also an argument that this might be the best
I guess you know you're... If you take this job, it's because you know you're not getting Florida, even if Lane Kiffin doesn't take Florida.
Right. I think because the same people that represent you represent all the other...
You know that you're not getting that job because they're getting drink... Well, whoever else.
I think the thing I would also argue is that Franklin has made a lot of his career being successful recruiting the DMV, DC, Tidewater, and that's where Virginia Tech makes their hay, so there's a comfort there.
Okay. I can buy that. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Well, this got complicated. It wasn't complicated in many ways. It was so you're down 24-20 in the third, and then Kwon Lacy rips off that 59-yarder.
Man, what a good back he is.
Unbelievable. 224 yards. That sets up the touchdown. And then Lane after says, this is the good old days. It is the good old days for Ole Miss. Like, either these are good. If it weren't for the drama, these are good days.
Yes.
And these are good days. Great crowd.
Yes. Crowd was electric.
Killing it. And it's not, I don't think it's fair to say that it is obscured by the other stuff.
I think it
doesn't. But the other stuff is part of it. It is like, listen.
It takes away from the enjoyment.
When you get cheers, you know. I'm carrying back to the John Calipari days. Literally, the Ole Miss fan base cheering for Lane and wanting him to stay, it does detract. You can't just 100% enjoy the moment. You are enjoying the moment, but there's a tinge of, and then I'll be honest, he didn't help afterwards.
No.
He was asked, did an interview with Dellinger. And in the interview, he said, I'm paraphrasing, I didn't grow up thinking that this was going to be a place like Ole Miss was going to be my last stop. I thought you'd go to a place like, he didn't say it, but like, you know, Florida or Alabama or whatever for your last stop. But maybe times are changing, basically, is what he said, right?
Yep.
The essence of it.
Yep.
And then he was asked afterwards, and it's always awkward, like, what are you supposed to say? I didn't find it particularly persuasive, though. We're looking at body language. I love it here. He sounded honestly just like Calipari. And then he was asked about, what'd you think of the crowd? And he brings up, yeah, it's great, but how about the Citadel last week?
Yeah, did you see last week?
That was snarky and unnecessary.
Very.
But I don't know. What do you make all that?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I actually thought that was unnecessary because in terms of an FCS game in the early November, like, Ole Miss actually got a pretty good crowd for that. Like, that was actually surprising, to which I'd be like, hey, man, you seen Long Island in Florida? Did you see the USF in Florida crowds? Like, I get all that. I guess where I came down on it was I thought it was the most predictable result, so I wasn't really surprised by anything because I thought for sure there were going to be people that were going to ask him about it on Saturday, and I thought he was going to give a non-answer, and I thought it was going to be the reaction that we'd see because I kind of thought Ole Miss was going to win the game. Did it get a little scarier maybe for Ole Miss fans? Sure, but like...
I saw a clip of the show you do with Neil.
Yeah.
And there... Both Neil and another one of your panelists,
Tyler Siskey,
kind of sick of it.
Well, Tyler has worked with Lane, and Tyler is very sick of the cuteness of it all. Like he was like kind of trolling the fan base all day on social media, and like I guess that felt unnecessary. But like I also am the person that points out this, like this is what you sign up for when you sign up for Lane Kiffin. Like
here's the other thing. One of the things that Neil said was. No one else, no other coach has been given what Lane has been given, right?
At like, Ole Miss, yes.
At Ole Miss, right? Full control, whatever he wants, blah, blah, blah. But this is also true. I look back to the Calipari years. Part of the genius of a coach that's really successful is they get you to give things that you haven't given. They're so dynamic. They're so popular. They win at such a high level. And then what you do is if you're at Memphis and John leaves, you say, we gave him everything. No one has ever. Yeah, but you have to understand, one of the reasons you gave him everything is because that's what he does. He comes in and he creates excitement and gets you to give him everything.
Yep.
That's why he's good in the first place.
Yes.
And just because you had another coach doesn't mean that coach would be given everything. It takes the charisma of Lane to unlock the everything, which then enables the winning.
I co-signed everything there. I still would argue I would go to LSU before I go to Florida. All the mess and everything, I'd still
awkward.
Go.
Like this stuff, and this is one of the problems with college football not having a king.
Yes.
Or a commissioner or whatever else.
A central power.
There's no one to say. You can't, like in the NFL, you can't, there's certain times you can interview, certain times you can't interview. You can interview, you know, whatever your head coach. No one would think that a NFL head coach in the playoffs would be bailing to go coach another team, particularly a team not in the playoffs.
Correct.
But that literally is happening now.
Yeah.
People are wondering and will keep wondering about it. So it does certainly make it awkward. But these are the good old days if you are Ole Miss. There's no question about that. All right. Who's next?
Finally, the best fight song.
So Michigan does have a very fine record, Jeffrey, at 8-2 and the best fight song. But this is not Michigan's. Michigan escaped Northwestern 24-22. What happens if Michigan beats Ohio State?
Oh, my gosh.
That be, what do you do then?
They're in.
I think they're in.
They would literally have the best win.
They just had a million turnovers, and Bryce Underwood keeps, like, regressing now. But if they beat Ohio State, I think they're in.
But then you went into this weird thing. What if they're 10-2 and yeah, let's say USC beats Oregon happen. And they're 10-2 and then USC has the head-to-head?
This is, by the way, why I believe that the Group of Five's automatic bid is going to go away. Everyone is going to be so mad at being left out, and they're going to say, why the hell do we set aside this bid for a Group of Five team that would otherwise not be considered?
Okay, so I still think they're worried about lawsuits.
You could also say that, by the way, about an ACC team and a Big 12 team.
100%.
But they also
Although maybe Texas Tech might be different this
Texas
year.
Texas Tech might be different this year.
Yeah.
But yes. But what happens if Texas Tech loses to BYU in the championship game, for example?
Oh, my God. Then are they both in?
Then are they both in? But then are they either worthy if they weren't an automatic bid?
I don't know. I still think they're more concerned about the lawsuit angle of leaving them out. And I still think what's probably more likely to your point, though, is they're just at some point going to figure out how to get it to 16, and then one of the 16
that
is.
Might be. Okay. So Notre Dame.
even though there's not momentum for that right now.
Pat Narduzzi saw this 100% coming.
Yes, he did. He turned in the film.
And let's be honest, they didn't lose 100-10.
No.
They lost 37-15. And that Pitt team has been throwing the ball all over the place.
And lots of different people.
126 yards passing in this one. They were 0 of 13 on third down. So Notre Dame has Syracuse and Stanford. I assume that Oklahoma will pass them this week. Will Alabama stay above them?
Oh, boy.
I think so.
I'm going to say yes because they're going to have better wins. Like, when you're comparing them, they will have better wins. Like, yes, Notre Dame's losses are better, but at the same time, like, there is kind of an element of, like, okay, what your best wins, what, USC right now?
Right. Speaking of, other teams that we haven't honored, USC comes back down 21-7 in the rain.
In L.A.
In L.A. You would think a team from California would fold up.
Melt.
Given the melt. Right, but no, they did not melt. Now, USC's got Oregon next weekend, so good luck with that. We'll see. USC, grittier than you would expect.
Absolutely. I thought that was an impressive win.
I thought it was gritty.
Yes.
Iowa came out playing extraordinarily well. So there was that one. Other teams that you could celebrate, BYU throttles TCU. Again, if they get to the championship game and happen to beat Texas Tech, I don't think they will. What happens then? Does BYU gets in and TCU gets in? I mean,
Texas Tech
gets in? Yeah. Utah just destroys every team that's not in the top 25. They beat Baylor 55-28. All eight of their wins are by 25 or more points. Georgia Tech escapes BC. That wasn't particularly distinguished. Virginia takes care of the ACC nightmare scenario of Duke winning the championship.
Yeah, they finally put us out of our misery.
By throttling Duke. I guess we could play the Navy fight song. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Navy beats USF, briefly opening the door that Memphis then slammed shut on its own face. But it wasn't really open anyway. And who are we going to blow up, Jeffrey? Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much have to.
They didn't fall behind this time.
They did not fall behind this time. And again, they don't ever. Well, they did kind of stink it up in the first half against UAB, but even then, they come back. Like, disappointing end for the University of Memphis. Before they could always say, well, I guess. Their goals are not in front of them. Like, it's it. This is it. I do wonder what it'll be like at the Navy game.
There's Navy always fans a good crowd because you get a lot of Navy people.
Navy people there. And it's a good game. Like,
it's a fun game, yeah.
It's a fun game. So I hope people go to that one. But we got to blow up Memphis because the season. And let's be honest. I didn't expect this season for them to get to the conference championship game until they started beating people. They created the expectations for themselves that they then fell short of.
That UAB loss is really,
really, really, really, really, really, really, really bad loss. Other teams you could blow up. You could blow up Louisville.
Yes.
Louisville.
They just got another personal foul.
Three of them. And the missed extra point and the missed field goals.
Yeah.
Including the killer at the end. And Clemson's celebrating, man. Clemson at 5-5. I guess that's it. What's coming up next, Jeffrey?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. You're going to join the program at 1:25. Kevin Cerrito will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. CJ Hurt will join us during hour number two. It's Monday, so Cobb will be with Gabe at 5:00.
I was trying to look up the poll, Jeffrey. We had a poll today. In the end, most disappointing. Grizzlies now taking the lead at 39%.
Wow. Late collapse or late surge.
Late surge. Grizzlies at 39%. Memphis football at 35%. Memphis basketball at 26%.
So it's close.
We'll let Jason and John continue the conversation. We'll be back tomorrow. For now, work is done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.